period of half an hour, I received two independent reports that that happened. I think we're talking somewhere between December 27th and December 31st, and I can probably find the exact date, of police obviously knowing people can't make it through a light, and yet harassing them as some kind of, sounds almost like a military exercise or a fundraising exercise or a quota, tickets for a quota exercise. It sounds, frankly, quite sinister. And yet at the same time, maybe I'm too blasé, it sounds quite typical of the Santa Cruz police force. Well, here's a song that I heard on the mall for the first time about a week and a half ago. I was very moved by it, and I think you will be too.
This song is just called Happy.
Go for it. And the musician, of course, is Randy Hale.
Randy Hale, at your service.
Go, Randy.
Happy John Dine was a friend of mine, lived here by the sea. Down on the streets of Santa Cruz, he always laughed at me. Happy and I went to church one night, thank God, and ate our fill. Asked him if he had any money, give me a fake dollar bill. Where is Happy? He's gone away. Oh, and it's hard for me to be happy. Happy's in a grave. Oh, where is Happy? Shot down today. And it's, yes, the police are happy. Sadness is here to stay. Happy was as harmless as a butterfly. Loved everyone he met. He never left the 60s. Didn't really care for the internet. One day he was grooving to some tunes and doing the happy bop when a bullet entered his chest. Came from a Santa Cruz cop. Where is Happy? Shot down today. And it's hard for me to be happy. Happy's in a grave. Oh, where is Happy? He's gone away. And I guess the police are happy. Sadness is here to stay. But people like Happy, I do believe. Heaven is great, great spirits. You know, like whatever you got here, less of, you got more there. Could happen. So I think he's up there. I think he's looking down. And he's probably saying, hey man, right on, I know you, power to the people. Where is Happy? He's gone away. And it's hard for me to be happy. Happy's in the grave. Where is Happy? Shot down today. And I guess the police are happy. Sadness is here to say, yeah, I guess the police are happy. Sadness is here to say.
And that was Happy by Randy Hale. Now we skip back a few days to the farmer's market, and here's an instance of minor harassment of a woman selling didgeridoos. A community service officer comes along, and so do I.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, that's why I like to warn people.
Sure.
Appreciate it.
So we have a CSO hassling a person who's doing nothing worse than having some wood, looks like wood instruments, is that right? Looks like wood, didgeridoos and some, what do we call those, necklaces? In any case, it doesn't look like major criminal behavior to me. And CSO is lingering.
Community service. I wonder what kind of job is that. Community service.
No, it's a hassle of the homeless job, is what it is. See, he didn't get a complaint. He just came over here and hassled her. That's what happened. Get a job! Right. So we have a CSO who 5 or 10 minutes ago came up to this woman sitting here with her pipes, her didgeridoos. He's still staring at her from about 30 feet away and demanded that she put them away. So there she is, putting them away.
Well, we're here at 15 to 4.
No Guns is singing a song about impeachment, which perhaps she'll let us record.
That's about all that we've got. Here now we don't have a democracy. We've got a republic. We've been fighting this thing for over 200 years. Now the republic says we won't let the people decide anything, anytime. That's why we ended up with two political parties. Now the Democrats held over 200 years ago that the people should decide.
Mountains of the Dalmatian Coast.
Okay, it's January 2nd, 1998. Here's a call to Rahula in San Francisco. Okay, well, we're on the line with San Francisco activist Rahula. What's your last name, Rahula?
Rahula Janowski.
Yes, the famous Rahula Janowski. And Rahula, you've been, well, sampling some cookery up there and also engaging in some activism on behalf of the rights of homeless people, working with Food Not Bombs. Have I left anything out?
Well, I also do a little work with the Biotic Bacon Brigade, but today I guess we're going to talk about some Food Not Bombs stuff that's going on.
Okay, well, where should we begin? I know Food Not Bombs has been concerned about the exclusion of homeless people from public spaces in San Francisco, particularly around the Civic Center Plaza.
Right, UN Plaza is right next to Civic Center, and UN Plaza has been for the past couple of years where Food Not Bombs does our nightly meal in San Francisco. You know, every night we're down there, and we serve anywhere from 100 to 300 people on your average night. Lately, there have been police sweeps going on in the whole area, not just in those areas. Other areas of the city are also being affected. We notice it more there because of the variations in the number of people who come and eat with us. Last night, for instance, there were not that many people, and it is the beginning of the month, and we noticed that at the beginning of the month when people have gotten their checks, there aren't as many people coming to eat with us, but it was still a really low amount. And while we were there last night, the police came and woke up this man who was sleeping, roughed him up a bit, and arrested him. And that's been going on a lot, and I think part of the reason that it's been happening more in that area, UN Plaza and Civic Center, is that City Hall's opening this week. And, the city officials are going to be back in City Hall, and they're going to be, you know, not wanting to have to see the people who are suffering from their policies.
Well, a constant slap across the face was Food Not Bombs servings. I remember back in 1993 and 94 when City Hall was, of course, at City Hall, right across from Civic Center, before it moved to the Vets Memorial Building, I guess.
City Hall closed in around 1995, I think early spring, and since then they've had temporary City Hall, and Food Not Bombs has been serving at UN Plaza, and part of the reason for that is to draw attention to the fact that the United States is in constant violation of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that the UN put out, in particular Article 25, which is the right to an adequate standard of living. And now that City Hall is reopening, it seems appropriate that on the day they reopen that we be there. And so we're planning to spend the entire day in front of, right across from City Hall and Civic Center on Tuesday, which is the first day City Hall will be open for business as usual.
Tuesday, January 5th.
That's right.
And what time do you intend to show up?
Well, we're going to get there around 9 with some breakfast and coffee, and then lunch will come down around 12, and dinner around 4:30. So we're going to do three meals during the day there. We won't be doing a regular meal at UN Plaza, but we'll be letting people know that dinner's going to be a little earlier and on Civic Center instead of UN Plaza on Tuesday.
Now, is Is Food Now Bonds serving pretty much daily up in San Francisco?
Generally. Over the holidays, we did miss a few days. We don't serve on Christmas or Thanksgiving anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did miss a couple days this past, about a week ago, because a lot of volunteers have been out of town.
Mm-hmm.
But people are coming back, and we'll be pretty regular again. But as you know, in general, we serve dinner 7 nights a week down at Eagle Plaza, and we do lunches on Mondays at 2 different locations, one in the Haight and one in the Mission.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that in the past, Food Now Bonds, until 1996, was getting regularly harassed and arrested by Santa Cruz Police Department under Mayor Jordan, and there was a little bit of harassment under Brown in this first few months. Has that essentially stopped?
Well, Food Now Bonds has not been harassed. That's true. I think that was one of Mayor Brown's campaign things, is he wouldn't arrest Food Now Bonds. He also campaigned on that he would end Matrix. And I suppose the name Matrix has ended, but quality of life citations, which are generally targeting homeless people, things like, you know, sleeping outside and whatnot, have actually gone up under Mayor Brown's administration as opposed to Jordan's administration. So he's, you know, kinder and gentler in the face, but as far as his actual, you know, his actual policies, it's not any better for homeless people in San Francisco.
Well, I understand the fact that they're substantially worse, not just because, well, I understand from the Coalition on Homelessness figures that his Matrix-style arrests doubled in the first year, and then were 2.5 times the level in the second year, and I guess now in the third year, I'm not sure if they're even higher, or they plateaued out at 2.5 times what Jordan's arrests were. But you essentially, what's your perception of the figures with those? Is it pretty much at a multiple rate as it was in Jordan? Or?
As far as I'm aware, yeah. And right now things are, you know, just recently the mayor's office unveiled some new, quote, homeless plans, and they're pretty terrible. One of them is referred to as a three drunks and you're out program. Up until this plan, what happened when someone was, you know, picked up for drunk in public is they would be held until they were sober and then released. This new program calls for, you know, getting citations, and on your third drunk in public citation, you're held in jail until your trial, and then you can get a 90-day sentence for, you know, for being drunk. And it specifically targets homeless people because, you know, if you're a drunk yuppie and you're on your way home, it's not a big deal. But if you're a drunk homeless person, you know, where are you going to go? And it also looks as though they're using this program to, you know, to pick people up. You know, who's going to, if you're not drunk and the police say you are, like, who's to say? And they're also doing things like taking pictures of people and giving them to liquor stores and telling them not to sell alcohol to these people. Then there's the San Francisco CARES program, which sets up a system where the police can, quote, offer services to homeless people. And I have no idea what kind of services they can offer because there aren't very many out there. And if people refuse, then issue them a citation. And what that does is sets up a situation where people are going to be getting, you know, citations, and then they're going to be getting warrants over their head. And it just is one more step to criminalize poor and homeless people in San Francisco.
Is this sort of the approach that was used in Florida when the Pottinger decision reached its sort of culmination in October of this year, which the Pottinger decision ruled that they could not arrest people for so-called life-sustaining misdemeanors, such as sleeping or setting up a tent or public nudity or cooking food in public areas, as long as there was no alternative, like a shelter bid? I guess what they eventually arrived at was an agreement with the police department. The police could not even approach homeless people unless they had a shelter bed offer ready to provide as an alternative to what the homeless person was doing at that point. That's, as far as I understand, under the Pottinger decision, as I've read it, as it was sent to us about 2 weeks ago by some Miami folks or Hollywood, Florida folks, that's what it reads. Is that what, in essence, they're saying in San Francisco, that if they have a shelter bed available, they can start?
Oh, no. it's not that specific by any means. And in any case, the only the main city-operated homeless shelter in San Francisco is the Mission Rock facility, which is out in Bayview. It's pretty far away from where most homeless people are, which is, you know, more towards the center of town, around the Tenderloin and stuff. And, you know, for people who are working, you know, panhandling or working elsewhere, people who have lives, like, to go all the way out to the Mission Rock shelter is a pretty big problem.
How many people use it?
I'm not sure, actually.
Mm-hmm. I understand that there's only a fraction of the homeless people are served by the entire San Francisco shelter system. Is that?
Oh yeah, that's absolutely true. There's a lot more. I think the current figure is that there are 7 homeless people for every 1 bed that's available. So to say, oh, we're going to offer services or offer shelter, the shelter's not there to be offered in any case.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a, you know, I think it's just talk, basically.
A hoax, perhaps?
Mm-hmm.
A hoax?
Yeah, a hoax. Yeah. So on Tuesday we're going to be out there, and one of our messages is that visibility is a human right, because most of the homeless programs in San Francisco at this time are homeless programs for the benefit of business people. They're designed to get homeless people out of certain commercial areas, but it's not like, oh, get out of this area and come to this area where you know there are opportunities and programs and whatnot. Just get out of the Civic Center and get out of the Castro, get out of UN Square, Union Square, and basically denying people the right to be visible. And by doing that, it makes it a lot easier to dehumanize homeless people and forget, you know, why they're in the situations that they're in, and that they are actually, you know, human beings who deserve respect and deserve access to human rights. So that's a big part of our message out there, and we want to remind the people who work in City Hall that, you know, there are people who are not benefiting from the city's programs, and on the contrary are suffering really badly from the direction that San Francisco is going right now.
Is this a one-day shot, or are you going to be moving your meal there regularly?
At this point, it's a one-day thing. We're gonna discuss whether or not we should move back to Civic Center. There would be a big, you know, a bit of an upheaval, because right now we serve at UN Plaza at 6:30 at night, and if we're going to serve in front of City Hall, you know, we'd probably want to be serving before they close, so at 4:30 or 5 in the afternoon. So it's going to take some discussion, and we'll talk about it.
There are two friends of mine that had a baby. They decided to have the child at home.
This is a musical break.
And they instructed the midwives that when the child was born, for the first 5 minutes, they didn't want to know its gender. They said they just wanted to appreciate its babiness with no strings attached, except the birth strings. Terrible pun, I'm sorry. And so it was. So it was. They had the child, and for 5 minutes they had it in a little blanket, and they just loved it and appreciated it. And then finally, almost anticlimactically, they just unwrapped the blanket. I thought that was an awfully beautiful idea, and I wanted to write a song about it, and I did. And this is that song. The name of the song is The First 5 Minutes of Life.
Thank you.
For so it seems, in the first 5 minutes of life.
Decision about what we're
going to do. Now, I understand that several years ago, this push against, well, against the Matrix program itself kind of generated from Union Square merchant pressure around a group called the Committee on Jobs.
The Committee on Jobs, they're terrible.
Is that still happening? Can you tell our listeners what the Committee on Jobs is and what its current status is? I understand it's...
You know, I actually don't know a whole lot about them. I know that they're working with the business improvement district that's happening around Union Square.
That's the homeless removal district, right?
yeah. I don't have a lot of details about them, but, you know, the business improvement district, a big part of it is to hire private security guards to move people along.
Mm-hmm. Now, Berkeley, well, Santa Cruz has a whole bunch of ordinances that make it illegal to sit near a shop window within 10 feet, 50 feet from an ATM, 4 feet from a telephone, make it illegal to ask for spare change if you're seated, ask for spare change after dark, and so forth. And San Francisco, as I understand, rejected most of those kinds of ordinances. Is that still the case?
My understanding is that there is an ordinance about panhandling within a certain distance from ATMs, but there's no anti-sitting laws or panhandling laws in San Francisco. You don't really need them, though. If you're homeless and the cops come and move you along, generally you're going to move along, and particularly if you've gotten a citation at one point or another and haven't shown up in court, people are just going to go when the cops tell them to go, because otherwise they'll check your ID, find your warrants. I mean, the whole situation is pretty insidious. You might not think that offering or giving a citation to someone could be such a problem, but it has a lot of repercussions.
Now, the Coalition on Homelessness about a year ago began taking those Matrix-style citations for sleeping and being in public spaces after curfew or whatever, the park curfews. I assume you got closing hours for parks?
Yeah, sure did.
They took those citations and they essentially went into court with them and had a lot of them dismissed. Is that process still happening?
I know that it was last year when Golden Gate Park was being swept, which is really good. I know that a lot of folks, there was a woman up there from the coalition who was collecting people's citations. The thing is, not everybody, knows about those things or is going to run into someone from the coalition. I mean, it's great that they do that, but, the citations need to not be given out.
Mm-hmm. What about the, we've been hearing a bit about Hot Cookie and the Castro kind of with their, kick a panhandler in the teeth for Christmas or what their program is. Don't give out change to spare changers.
Right, they had these signs that they were giving to merchants to put in their front window that said create change, don't hand it out, and basically saying, we need to get panhandlers out of the neighborhood, so don't encourage them. Instead, give money to these charities, and then listed like two charities, which is kind of ridiculous because you could give a handful of change to somebody, and that would actually make a difference for that person who's on the street panhandling. But if you give $1.25 to some kind of bureaucratic homeless advocacy group, I don't think it's going to really do a whole lot of good, and people aren't going to do that anyway. It basically was just a mean-spirited, anti-homeless, anti-panhandling, the way to express that sentiment. And so Food Not Bombs in San Francisco, along with the IWW, started a little subgroup called Food Not Bosses, and for a few months we were serving every weekend in the Castro, and we had a flyer that said, create change by handing it out with a really nice graphic, and we're out there to, confront that kind of
bigotry?
bigotry, yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you could say it's kind of ironic that in the Castro, which is, a mecca of freedom for some people,
different sexual lifestyles?
What's that?
Different sexual orientations?
Right, different sexual orientation, but, as that particular campaign showed, there wasn't a whole lot of class consciousness down there.
What's been the impact of the Food Not Bosses campaign? Did it die in the Hot Cookies campaign to drive out Spirit Changers continue? Is there a standoff? What's the story?
Well, we continued that program for a few months, and then the anti-panhandling and anti-homeless campaign up there was successful enough that after a certain amount of time, people weren't coming to eat anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But while we were out there, it was pretty controversial. We'd have folks coming by and, screaming in our faces and trying to pick fights, and it was a real, a real button pusher. People were just really upset that someone would come and accuse them of being oppressing someone else when, they quite obviously were. And it was always really gratifying to see some stores would not put up those signs, but a large amount of them in the Castro did have them. And the thing that's really frustrating is that there's a lot of kids who leave their homes and come to San Francisco because they're queer youth, and they come to San Francisco and the Castro and then end up being, on the street and not being accepted, even though they are queer, but because they're poor and homeless or panhandling.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that things are worse than they were a year ago in the Castro in this regard?
I think so. I don't spend a whole lot of time there, but it does seem that way. I mean, I'd say that the citywide situation, things are worse citywide for sure.
Well, young people are taking it a lot on the chops. I know in Santa Cruz and in Berkeley, where police are using felony drug busts for small quantities of marijuana, catching young people, actually entrapping young people with felony charges of possession with intent to sell. Is that happening in San Francisco much that you know of?
Not that I'm aware of.
What's the situation for street performers in San Francisco? Any idea, Rahul?
No, I don't.
I expect a full report next time.
What's that?
I expect a full report next time.
Well, I can't be everywhere at once.
I got you.
Your performers work in the tourist areas, which I generally tend to avoid.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Then, of course, most recently, you've been in the news a lot, mainly over the issue of the Biotic Bakery Brigade's redecorating Willie Brown's face temporarily. With a little tasty pastry.
That's true.
But the reason you did that, I take it, was to bring to light certain issues, right?
Well, certainly. And part of what we were doing out there that day was bringing attention to the fact that, Mayor Brown is behind these new homeless programs, in an effort to, make it look as though he's done something about homelessness, when in fact, really, he hasn't. But if he can push people out of sight, it'll look like he has. And that was part of the reason that he was pied.
You experienced quite a violent response from those around Mayor Brown when this happened.
Just from one person. In general, people were, a little taken aback, but one person flew into action and tackled me and whatnot, yeah.
Broke your shoulder?
Yeah, broke my clavicle.
How are you doing?
I'm healing. It's kind of slow and painful, but...
And you're facing what, misdemeanor charges in court?
Yeah, there's three of us facing two misdemeanor charges. We're facing a year in jail.
Helen Ann, when he came into power, immediately dismissed some 30,000 to 40,000 matrix citations. I think those were infraction citations. But under the current Brown regime, has he kind of fallen into line as being one of the enforcers of the Brown matrix program?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Really? So he's maintaining an independent status?
Well, on that issue, yeah, but
he seems to be going after you three.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
I mean, that certainly isn't because you are a menace with your pies, right? It has to do with some political pressure from the Brown administration, wouldn't you think?
Well, Mayor Brown and Terrence Hallinan go back about 30 years. They've been political cronies for quite some time since Mayor Brown's first run for the assembly. So, they've been scratching each other's backs for a while.
One of the things I noticed when Democrats come into power is often things get worse for poor people because the previous critics that were, for example, on the Board of Supervisors, such as, Al Yoto and and others who were criticizing Jordan's Matrix program suddenly all fall into line as a sort of unanimous chorus of supporting the new Democratic administration. Do you notice this has happened with Brown at all?
Oh, absolutely. It's also happening countrywide. You know, a lot of resistance has died out because it's Clinton, not Bush, and a lot of progressives and liberals think that that's going to, you know, make things better, when actually their relaxation of vigilance has led to the situation in San Francisco and in the entire country getting far, far worse.
Weary housing was the subject of a lot of protests by Homes Not Jails and Religious Witness for the Homeless in trying to reclaim housing that the Presidio essentially has available, but is instead, first it was going to be demolished, then it was going to be relocated. Now it's being occupied by students and professors. Is that the latest chapter in this sorry saga?
Yeah, it is. Food Not Bombs was also involved in the housing takeover at Wary, 2 years ago. But yeah, they're housing students in housing that they once claimed nobody could live in. It wasn't safe, and it had to be demolished. But I guess they figured out that they could turn a buck, so.
Mm-hmm. What about squats? When I was in San Francisco 3 or 4 years ago, Homes Not Jails was occupying numerous squats. Is there a lot of squatting going on in San Francisco?
You know, I don't think that there is quite as much as there was. I'm not 100% certain, but there's an incredibly low vacancy rate in this city right now. You know, landlords can get an awful lot of money because there's a lot of professionals, you know, in the computer industry who want to live here and can afford to pay a lot of money. So there's, you know, a lot of motivation for landlords to rent their places out, and they are. So I know that there is some squatting going on, but it's not that widespread. And I'm not real sure.
Homes Not Jails isn't, for example, sponsoring squats anymore.
Well, they might be. I'm not sure. If they are, it's not real overt.
Mm-hmm. What about the situation for cannabis clubs in San Francisco? Any sense of that?
Well, all the visible ones have been shut down. With Lundgren cracking down on the cannabis clubs, in spite of the medical marijuana initiative passing. So there aren't any, to the best of my knowledge, there aren't any like high visibility cannabis clubs operating right now. I do know of at least one that is operating, but it's not, you know, it's kind of a low key kind of setup, which is a shame.
What about the situation for people sort of on the edge of homelessness with rent problems? I know there was are the supervisors holding the line or progressing in terms of trying to provide greater protection to renters, or is that also fallen by the wayside?
They haven't done a lot lately. The voters passed an initiative strengthening owner move-in evictions in this last election.
You mean strengthening the protections against that?
Yeah, but it would take an awful lot right now. I mean, what with the Costa-Hawkins Act, you know, going into effect on a statewide level, that...
Can you explain for those of us who don't know what that is, what that is?
Yeah, it's a statewide law that prevents vacancy rent control, commercial rent control, and rent control on single-family dwellings. Mm-hmm. So obviously that guts a lot of rent control. The commercial rent control is really important because... I mean, we didn't have it in San Francisco anyway, but now we can't by statewide law because if there was commercial rent control, it would really slow down gentrification. And as gentrification of neighborhoods increases, you know, evictions increase, rent raises increase, and vacancy control is really important also because if there's vacancy control, it lessens the motivation for landlords to evict their tenants and then raise the rent for the new tenants.
Do you notice a lot of new people on the streets who are homeless in the last 6 months?
I have noticed the numbers at the Food Not Bomb servings have gone up pretty steadily. There's a lot more people. I'm seeing a lot more people in the area of town I live in, which is the Mission District. I'm seeing a lot more homeless people here. It's hard to say, though. You know, there's a few folks that I see all the time, you know, who live around here.
2 years ago, it was widely predicted that Clinton's gutting of welfare would result in massive increases in homelessness. Are these were these predictions overly pessimistic in your view, based upon what has subsequently happened?
No, I don't think so. I mean, people are hitting their limits on welfare and such, and I think particularly in San Francisco, it's really gaining momentum. You know, the rent is really rising here. Like 3 or 4 housing developments were all demolished at the same time, and yeah, they're being rebuilt, but they're not going to be low income anymore. They're going to be mixed housing, low income and middle income. That puts a lot of people on the streets.
What about welfare moms and children on welfare, since that makes up the majority of people on welfare, I believe, is children, right? Or a significant proportion of them.
In the work that I do, I don't see a lot of children. The Food Not Bombs servings are mainly men. I think that women with children get some kind of priority in housing. And also, I think as a woman on the street, as a woman with kids on the street, you're going to be a lot more low-key because it's not safe.
Mm-hmm. What about the people's reaction to this? Have any new organizations formed? Is there any new militancy forming to resist this kind of the criminalization of poor people, the destruction of their access to services and to housing and jobs?
Well, one of the new programs or new groups that started up in the past couple of years that's pretty inspiring is a group called Mission Agenda, and they work predominantly in the 16th Street corridor area where there's a lot of SRO hotels, and they're mainly concerned with with people who live in SROs, which is very often it's the step between living in a house and living on the street. You lose your home, then you live in a hotel, and then eventually you can't afford that anymore. And they do a lot of work on trying to enforce the laws that those hotels are supposed to operate under, and they're a community-based group. Most of the people in the group live in SROs. They do speak outs, and they're really doing a good job of addressing the issue of hotel dwellers in that in the area of the 16th Street corridor. They have speak outs regularly, and that's pretty inspiring. I haven't noticed any kind of city-wide building of movement or anything. I think that in general, the left and the radical left is fairly demoralized right now.
That's probably true. Although I'm always looking for positive reports.
Well, Food Not Bombs is still going, and the Eviction Defense Network is doing some really good organizing in a few of the still remaining public housing projects. Helping to get the tenants organized to protect themselves and try to keep their projects from being demolished under the Hope 6 program.
Mm-hmm.
I personally have noticed at the servings when I talk to the folks who are eating with Food Not Bombs that people are really angry, and I'm noticing more people talking about issues of class and about the city not caring about them and stuff. And I think that that is a positive sign, because as people start to recognize that it's not their fault per se that they're on the street, and that that there are people who should be held accountable, that's pretty encouraging, and hopefully we'll get people geared up to start.
The Coalition on Homelessness puts out a street sheet and has been doing some, joint protesting with Food Not Bombs?
They've endorsed the demonstration that we're going to be doing on Tuesday, and the street sheet comes out monthly, and it's really pretty inspiring, pretty good.
Police on New Year's, by the papers we read, got greeted with a riot because they closed Union Square. Any comments on that and the significance of police power in San Francisco regarding poor people?
I don't think the stuff that happened on New Year's had that much to do with poor people. I may be wrong, I wasn't there, but I think it kind of had to do with people fighting for the right to party.
Mm-hmm. The right to party.
If people would get that riled up about their right to have housing and stuff, but I think a lot of people from the outlying suburban areas came in and came in for the New Year's at Union Square. But I haven't read any of the newspaper accounts about it, and just heard people talking about it.
Police misconduct in San Francisco has been an issue that's concerned past generations of Food Not Bombers there, and it's also been a matter of concern to a lot of us here in Santa Cruz because of the implications that here in Santa Cruz we are fighting for real community control of the police and to make police accountable for their violence toward people, and when people have died, homeless people in fact, because of police shooting, a case like, for example, of Happy John dying here in Santa Cruz. Do you see much progress in the community effort to get police under control in San Francisco?
Well, there's some really good community groups, Police Watch and the October 22nd Coalition does the, anti-police brutality demonstration every October 22nd, and people are pretty outraged about some of the police shootings that have gone on here. A really remarkable case is the shooting of Sheila DeToy, who is a young woman who was with a man who the police were looking for. They had a warrant for his arrest based on a not a violent drug offense, and the guy got in a car to get away, and they shot at him and shot this woman and killed her. And in a just like completely astounding decision, Hallinan, the DA here in San Francisco, decided not to charge the police with anything. Instead, he's charging the driver of that car with the murder of this woman, Sheila DeToy. So while community groups are organizing and addressing this issue of police violence, the DA's office here in San Francisco has not prosecuted or anything, hasn't charged or prosecuted or reprimanded any of the police involved in the three shootings that happened last year. They're rather going after the victims.
How about the police commission? Has it done anything where the citizens are, what do you call it, the OCC, Office of Civilian Complaints? Citizen complaints?
I think that most of the action has come more from community groups.
They also seem to be pursuing you and your compatriots who simply were trying to give Brown a taste of justice. You've gotten a lot of probably media interviews and media coverage because of this. Do you think the action was an effective one in terms of what you wanted done?
Oh yeah, sure. There was a lot of media coverage on the pie.
Let's first, for those who don't know, tell us what happened briefly, so people can remember, because we got even little blurbs as far south as provincial Santa Cruz. But what happened that produced the coverage in your broken shoulder?
Mayor Brown was giving a press conference to announce the Great Sweep, which is a neighborhood cleanup thing that he does every year, and he was greeted at that press conference with three pies from the Biotic Bacon Brigade. Three pies were delivered to him, and the three of us and the bystander were arrested and charged with felony conspiracy and felony assault. The charges against the bystander were dropped, and the charges against the three of us who delivered the pies at this point are assault on a public official and battery, both misdemeanors. And
the official, the individual the charges were dropped against was the photographer?
He wasn't actually photographing anybody. What he did is that terrible criminal him. He tried to find out the name of the guy who tackled me and broke my collarbone, and at that point he was arrested. And he also, when this guy was on top of me, like bending me backwards and doing all kinds of terrible stuff to me, he intervened, which I think, prevented me from getting a lot more hurt than I was. And then he tried to find out that guy's name, and they arrested him. But yeah, charges against him were dropped. And so that generated a lot of media, and it did generate media about the programs that we were protesting as well. I mean, the week following the pie action, there was an article in the New York Times about homelessness in San Francisco.
Bad article, as I remember. What did you think of that article?
It was all right.
Yeah, it was okay.
I mean, I don't really expect much from the New York Times. The fact that they were addressing homelessness in San Francisco at all was, kind of astounding. And in general, the first week of media was pretty good. They were using a lot of quotes from the BBB and really getting across, on one hand, the fact that we were addressing issues of homelessness and also getting across the humor that comes with pie. But in short order, probably the editors cracked down on the reporters and were like, hey, we can't, be sympathetic to these people. And the media hasn't been that great after that. But nonetheless, I think that a pieing is, you know, if you report that someone was pied, the American public understands what a pie is about.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's as American as apple pie, I would have to say.
Exactly.
Well, I know that you were accused in some media by some, for example, Supervisor Amos Brown of being a racist in your attacks. Have you gotten any trouble from other people that you actually respect with that charge, or is that simply bandied about by Brown and, well, Supervisor Brown and Mayor Brown as a sort of a cover for their own racism?
Well, I think that when charges of racism are thrown around, it's not something that you can shrug off, you know, whether it's an appropriate charge or not. You know, America is an extremely racist country, and we have to recognize that and take that into account. However, you know, I think to say that the BBB is racist is kind of off target, as it were, because, you know, for one thing, all the other targets of the BBB have been white men, and
with the exception of Willie Brown?
With the exception of Willie Brown. And it's really obvious if you look at, you know, what we were doing, that Mayor Brown was pied because of his politics and his policies and his position. And I think that that's clear to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But it is also important to recognize that, you know, black people in the United States have, you know, suffered oppression for years and years and years, you know, since the beginning of the United States, basically.
And are suffering now at a much higher rate than most other groups. I think Hispanics are getting their share of the shit as well.
Yeah, Latinos are getting a lot as well. And, you know, and I think it's important to recognize that. And it's also important to recognize that even though Mayor